Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I wanted to know, what's your routine when you go to the cinema?
Routine when I go to the cinema is actually very, very specific. Unfortunately, I've stopped actually buying any of the popcorn and the food in the cinema.
What do you wear a suit, or you don't wear a suit or anything?
No, I don't wear a suit. My clothing is just very casual and, you know, maybe a pair of jogger bottoms, something like that.
Will you do your hair and make yourself smell nice?
No, it hasn't got a premiere vibe. It's more like crawling into the womb, you know, just relax, just totally chill out and just click out of reality. So a pair of jogger bottoms and a Star Wars t-shirt and gold trainers.
Oh, right. Yeah, that, it's almost like pajamas.
I've got a Star Wars t-shirt on now. There you go. That's what I'll be wearing. And then I always bring my food in with, I have a satchel inside. It is an Asda plastic bag filled with treats that I can rustle through like a badger's just found a bin in a local neighborhood street. So I'll put my nose in there and just scoff away, have a sugar high.
So you take a bag in there with you with treats?
Oh, yes, a bag, an Asda bag full of treats type of thing. And I sort of rustle around that bag through the film.
How much is in there?
Quite a lot, actually. I don't get through it all.
Do you have to hide that bag in your jacket?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I either...
I think you mentioned this on the podcast before.
I think I may have. I kind of roll it up and put it in the elastics on my jogger bottoms over my jacket. Or if I'm more organized, I've got my gym bag and I put it in my Puma gym bag and just put it over my shoulder.
So, like you're smuggling?
I guess so. And it makes the food even more tastier, I suppose, if you smuggled it through.
What's in that bag?
A lot of stuff. It's almost like a sort of a fun bag of treats, which there's loads left over from previous ones. And so you've got like, I do like rice cakes. Not really.
With chocolate on top.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm not sat there eating like
a fucking racket in the cinema.
I know, yeah. I was watching Elvis last night and I was making way too much noise over some caramel rice cakes. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Rustle.
How do you eat?
Oh, I had 12 last night. I know, way too many.
With other sweeties?
Oh, yes, definitely. And then some Asda popcorn. And I had some orange chocolate popcorn last night as well. I know. I sort of got used to it as I went along. That's the thing with popcorn. It's very Moorish, isn't it? You just get into a zone with it. You find a flow.
What if it's a really busy cinema and you have to pull out this plastic bag? Do people not look at what you're doing?
I wait for action sequences when it's very loud. But can kind of like muffle the acoustics and then I get involved, but it's quite frustrating. It's like, well, I can't eat during this dialogue scene, but I better listen to the dialogue because I need to focus on the plot. And then I think to myself, Dave, why are you here, for the food or for the plot?
Yeah.
You're just trying to get for the dialogue so you can get to an action scene where someone's being murdered so you can just open your rice cakes. You sort of lose your motivation. Are you a film fan or a food fan?
This should be a rice cake review podcast.
I know. There's not many flavors though, unfortunately. It's quite limited, which is bad because I've got a lot of time for it.
Do you get a drink?
Yes, I always get one of those because I'm a Cineworld member and I always get one of those massive Tango explosions. And they're like about the size of my head. They're massive, but they turn into ice very quickly. It's like they're very nice at the beginning. There's like blueberry at the beginning, then you've got raspberry, and then you've got an orange, which I imagine.
Honestly, you sound like an 8-year-old.
I know. Well, that is literally what it's like, is it? It's about regressing into that. It's about, I think my whole interest in cinema is just about trying to recreate childlike experiences. I've tried to surround it by adult pretentiousness by learning the name of French directors and what a jump cut is and stuff like that. But in actual fact, it is just chasing that kind of dragon, that child's...
Yeah, yeah.
When I would go to like the, the Odeon in Cosham or in Brighton where I was living at the time, watching Abyss or, you know, whatever Sylvester Stallone, you know, kind of acting movie.
Fucking hell's bells.
But, and also, it gets out of control, doesn't it? Because when I was 10, I would just turn out of a simple box of popcorn. But now you're trying to chase this kind of ungrabbable nostalgia. It's a massive bag full of sugar. I can't really understand how to open a lot of it in the dark.
Why are you a fat bastard?
Oh, it's because... I don't know. It's just that... Well, the thing is, when you think of it, rice cakes aren't that fattening, are they?
No, but you'll sound like they're smothered in sugar.
I guess so. I think even those caramel ones... Do you know what? I'd probably die of some disease from sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, because I think that's what is on those rice cakes. That's what's going to kill me.
Oh, really? Okay, well, let's...
There you go. On that, that's the third act of that. That's the character arc at the end. Sweeteners got him.
David Edwards Movie News.
So, have you got any movie news this week?
Yeah, I tell you, some good movie news. One that I definitely forecast this in my head. I didn't say it to anyone. You know, you sort of have bored moments. But Cameron Diaz has been retired for a long, long time.
Has she?
And yes, she has, about 8 years. Oh. And I always knew she was going to come back and
did
demand...
Did she publicly say, oh, that's
yeah,
it, I'm
absolutely,
out.
That's it. She did Annie. And that was the last film she did. And she was saying that she pressed pause for a second to look at her her life. And she started noticing that everyone in her camp, all the people around her, her entourage, were taking just a bit too much money. And she suddenly realized that she was out of enormous amount of pocket, like $1 million, because everyone was taking 10 grand there, 20 grand there, things like that. And she started to realize that she was just completely out of control of her life. And started realizing that the films had like taken her away from being a good mother and stuff like that. She did loads of articles on it. But she's been out for 8 years, and now Netflix have got her back for a massive salary. I think it's Jamie Foxx she's doing the film with, and that was announced this week. And because she's still been in the media doing like ecosystem, ozone, you know, good to the planet kind of documentaries and articles. So she still had a media face, but you knew she was going to do another film.
Right.
Here's something even more interesting, though. Francis Ford Coppola has always wanted to make a dream project called Megalopolis, which was about a architect who wants to make a mini city in the center of New York and a utopian city in the center of New York. No one's ever been interested in making it. It's supposed to be like his next Godfather. So he's been playing around with this since like the early 90s.
How
so
old is
years.
He?
He's early 80s now, Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay,
I know, really old. So he's deciding now to finance the whole thing, $100 million. So it's like his swan song movie. And it's revealed that in actual fact, he hasn't made all his millions or hundreds of millions from films. It's from wine. He took his like money from Apocalypse Now, put it into vineyards, and he's made hundreds of, I don't think he's a billionaire, but hundreds of million into wine. And he's started to cast it now, and he's financing the whole film. So it's got a Marvel film budget. And
wow.
I know, and he's going to start filming this summer. Oscar Isaac's in it. Cate Blanchett could potentially be in it. Christian Bale has been interviewed for it, apparently.
What's it called? Megalopolis?
Yeah, Megalopolis, and it's about an architect with this like dream of creating this utopian city in the middle of New York. And then it's all about the backstabbing around it and all the politics around it, ultimately.
The 83-year-old self-funded $100 million gamble.
Massive. And it's all wine money. It's all these vineyards he owns. It's not even film. What is interesting about a lot of these big, big film figures is a lot of them were millionaires before they became famous. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger was a millionaire before Terminator, because he was a significant landlord in LA.
He took all his
money that he won from being a bodybuilder and put it into these very kind of like working class kind of like flat complexes around LA. And he was, you know, a low grade millionaire. He wasn't a multimillionaire, but he was very comfortable beforehand.
Who else?
A lot of them like that. Well, Harrison Ford.
What?
Yeah, Harrison Ford. He wasn't a millionaire, but he was doing very, very well. He was probably on like a lawyer's, you know, a high-end lawyer's salary. He was on $500,000, $600,000, that type of salary, being a carpenter for the star. And he had a very comfortable kind of existence. And he said before, you know, he'd go to auditions still. But through being an actor, he got to know all these people. And, you know, they were paying him good money. And it wouldn't have been the end of the world. You know, he wouldn't have been a multi-millionaire, but very, you know, comfortable existence. And a biography I read, you know, they showed his house before he was Han Solo. And it wasn't like, you know, he didn't need security guards, but we would have been very happy with it. I think the thing is, they have that entrepreneur spirit, don't they? If they weren't given that big break, I think they would still be making money in some way. They've got that kind of, you know, that capitalist fever. I don't know what I came up with that. That's going to be the name of my new pop band. Capitalist Fever. Don't know what that is.
What would be their first song?
Oh, God. It's, the smell of those dollars. Hollers, hollers. That's a terrible one, isn't it? Or cha-ching, something like that. I don't know.
How does cha-ching go?
Cha-ching. Pennies in heaven. Cha-ching. Swallow those dollar bills. Something like that.
That's nice. Cha-ching.
Pennies in heaven, ching, pennies in those dollar bills.
Yeah, we love you, David.
Oh,
we
God,
love
thank
you,
God,
David.
That's what we want. Thank you very. Don't get out of control. Don't stop pushing at the front row too much. I don't want anyone to get hurt, but thank you for your admiration.
Do you mind if I sing that again to you?
Oh, let's go for it. Let's get it on a loop. Ching.
Pennies in heaven, ching.
You forget the words.
Swallow those dollar bills.
And that could be the front of the album, just swallowing dollar bills.
Yeah.
And then the back of the album, hell, the person being sick.
I'm in a hotel here. This is really
That's what hotels are for, isn't it? Capitalist fever. Getting involved, just enjoying yourself.
David Edwards Movie Review.
So, last episode, we did the random film generator.
Yes.
And it landed on...
Mercury Rising.
Bruce Willis.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, I love this, David. Did you go away and watch it?
I certainly did, yeah.
Let's hear from you.
Yeah, it's got to be said, really, it's not good.
Isn't it?
It's really... I mean, you know, I think it's always good to have a positive element. There's an impressive opening shot of a helicopter the last 5 seconds. I was like, oh, that's well done. It sort of like goes over the forest and suddenly appears over a city. Bruce Willis is very charismatic because he's basically a cop that's got to protect a young autistic child that's worked out a code that would allow him to break into a high security system that the government are now involved with. And the government's solution to this problem is just to hunt down the kid and try and murder him, shoot him, which seems a bit extreme. And also, if this young kid can work out the code, surely other people are going to be able to as well. So there's going to be other young children or other people with this sort of ability with codes and puzzles that you're going to have to hunt down as well. Maybe just change your system. So there's like an inherent logic problem. And I'm not the sharpest toe in the box when it comes to plot. So if I'm scratching my head thinking this doesn't work... You know, and not enough action as well. Okay, naff plot, but I'm sat there thinking, well, I'm going to at least see Bruce, you know, do GBH and a lot of members of the public type of thing with some fancy cinematography. And there's one bit where he's being chased in a train. I thought, oh, here we go. Okay, this will be interesting. And Bruce kind of chucks him off the train after 5 seconds. And I think, well, that's that done. That's the end of that one.
This is post Die Hard.
post Die Hard, and interestingly, 2 years just before Sixth Sense. And it's a very similar narrative. Well, in some ways, it's not similar because it's not horror based, but it's very much about protecting this young child who has these mental issues. And the young child, I mean, don't get me wrong, it must be incredibly stressful being a young child actor, but the performance is very poor. He's like a robot, like a drugged zombie.
I've never seen you like this before.
I know it's terrible, isn't it? But I think it really is.
Was it a big flop at the time?
Yes, it was a big flop at the time. You can see what... one thing I would say is Bruce Willis is still very charismatic.
Let's have a listen to a bit now.
Come on. Come on.
Call Concordia. Get an ambulance over here. I have some badges waiting for us when we get there.
For what?
I want this kid protected.
How am I going to justify the overtime?
Since when you worry about overtime, Jack? The coroner says murder-suicide. They can go. Anybody asks about the overtime, put it on Lomax's gold card.
Safety.
Come on, unstrap.
All right,
all
right, Simon, we're going to unstrap you. Take it easy. Simon, just calm down, all right?
Tell me to
turn that off.
Turn that off! Turn the siren off!
Okay, so any parts of it you enjoy that you recommend, or would you say stay well clear of this?
I would stay completely... If you're a big Bruce Willis fan... You know, he still kind of delivers. There's like these very long shots where he gets out of police cars during crime scenes and he wanders past other policemen and always undoes his shirt and puts chewing gum in his mouth. And he does it in a very overly charismatic manner. And there are times where I think, well, I guess that's what a movie star is, you know. And he gets angry with his boss a lot of the time. And yeah, it's a good hour and 50 minutes. It went on for quite a while.
At what point were you like, this is a turkey?
I would definitely have said when he has an argument. When he has an argument with his police police chief, that's like a scene out of Simpsons action movie parody. Do you know what I mean? It literally...
How far into the movie was that?
That was about, I would say, 8 minutes in. even before that, a bank robbery, which he's trying to stop. What the police do, they mess it up, mess the situation up. So Bruce starts shouting to the policeman above him and he just thumps him several times in the face. You know, your own boss. I just say, well, this is just ridiculous, isn't it? This isn't based in reality at all. And as I say, when the child is then introduced, the acting is just appalling. You stop thinking about the plot. You start thinking, how was the kid auditioned? Surely they think it was okay to go with this, but maybe they filmed too much.
You're really lying into the kid, eh?
I know it's terrible, which is bad. I mean, I'm 44 and I still couldn't pull off that role. I think he's done a better job than me. And he was in Kindergarten Cop, that kid. He was one of the kids in Kindergarten Cop, and he was good in that.
Right, so who's the director of this film?
The director is the guy who did Taps with Tom Cruise. You know that military film with Tom Cruise back in the day?
That rings a bell.
So he's done a few bits before. And Malice, which was another Alec Baldwin thriller. So he's never had a big hit, but he's a competent Hollywood director that made a lot of stuff in the 80s and 90s.
Harold Becker.
That's it, that's the man.
Harold Becker, Mercury Rising, Sea of Love. Oh God, I remember that with Pacino. Yeah,
they're films that never became sort of massive breakout hits, but they were big, you know, releases at the time type of thing, you know.
Yeah. City Hall.
Yes, that was with John Travolta. He made a few with John Travolta.
And he did Madonna music videos.
Yes, he did. That's where he started. Like David Fincher did a lot of Madonna music.
God, his last film was shit. It looks like Mercury Rising might have been the death of him.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think he did very poorly in the cinema.
It's 1998.
Yes.
When was Sixth Sense then?
I think Sixth Sense was after that, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure Sixth Sense was released after that. So Sixth Sense, I think, was 99 or very late 98.
Bloody hell. I wonder if he's popped his clogs. No, he's still about. He's 93
and still living the dream. The thing is, a lot of them go on to be producers, don't they? Or they exist in development realm, whereby they help develop projects, or perhaps he opens his own production company, something in that vein.
He did definitely had a run of films: Black Marble, Taps, Vision Quest, The Big Town, Sea of Love, Malice, City Hall, Mercury Rising.
And Malice, I remember it being big in that whole kind of video culture of the 90s.
Malice.
He did quite a bit with John Travolta and Alec Baldwin.
Right.
And Alec Baldwin is the villain in Mercury Rising. He's the guy in the government who wants to kill the child because he's worked out how to break the code.
Right.
Because what they do is, with the code, they put a code into a puzzle book. And if you solve this particularly hard puzzle, you then need to ring up a number. You think you're going to win a competition, but you're really ringing up the FBI to say that you've done a puzzle, and unknowingly that puzzle book buyer has basically broken into, has basically got the code that could break into one of the biggest security systems in the FBI's vault. But then you think to yourself, God, well, every time you get a call, well, it's an easy idea for a sequel, isn't it? Someone else rings the number, you've got to go and kill them. So maybe get yourself a different security system. And you think, out of all the scrap, I mean, don't get me wrong, filmmaking very, very hard. But you think, out of all the script meetings, I ain't got a PhD from Cambridge.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there finding holes in this.
I haven't, not I ain't.
I haven't, quite right. Hence, I've got a PhD. Do you know what I mean? Just yet more evidence.
So,
getting quite urban there. I ain't got that, mate.
So, out of five choc ices, what are you going to give Mercury Rising this week?
I have to give it just the one for Bruce. I think Bruce turned up. I think it's pretty bad. It's very, very paint by numbers. And this is Sesame Street numbers. One choc ice. It ain't great.
You've done it again.
I don't know if I do that. I'm sort of going for an East End twang, a kind of like Londoner vibe. It's very strange, isn't it? Sort of a modern Oliver Twist.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Trying to empathise things with some sort of Cockney anger.
It ain't great.
It ain't great. Yeah, it's bizarre.
One choc ice.
Just that, that's it. You can't have the pack. They're going back in the fridge. You haven't worked hard enough. Have you made a film, Dave? No, it doesn't matter, though. You don't have one choc ice.
Oh, I'll tell you another time. But
No, please.
I won't.
What were you going to say? Was it interesting? Go for it.
Well, we had a screening two nights ago, and we had to do like an intro to the room, the cinema goers. Then we left. Me and Jim left to get something to eat, and they watched the film. We came back for the Q&A at the end. We walked into the credits. We sort of stood at the back of the room. couple of people sort of got up to leave. One German got up and just went, "It's my day, I'm lying down beside that." I went, "Oh, sorry? I can't do German, but..."
No, I'm getting the vibe, though. It's creating the atmos. Yeah, I understand what you mean. A lot of like, intense energy coming your way.
I was like, "Oh, sorry. I don't mind that. And then the lady sort of looking after us went up to him, like, it's, you know, the conversation in German. He fucking hated the film.
Oh, my God.
And the reason being was because of the slang language we were using. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know if he's... Because Charles says things like Yumsville. And
why did he like that?
He was really annoyed. And this lady said, have you ever made any films before?
No.
Well, then what you've just done right there is really disrespectful. Now, fuck off out of the cinema.
How bizarre. Was he a film critic then?
No, some... But I was like, okay, sorry, I've got to go and...
We'll refilm it, don't worry, we'll re-edit it for you.
Thanks for... That's bizarre. Do you know what? It was absolutely fine. I just thought, well, you're mad.
Well, absolutely insane. How did he get in the festival? He must be part of the industry. I mean, you don't wander into a film showing like that, do you? He hasn't come off the street, I wouldn't imagine. No.
Anyway, that's my story. So one choc ice for Mercury Rising.
One choc ice for that. I feel like that man now. I'm just an English version of him just shouting about, you know, Bruce, but in my own native tongue.
David Edwards movie tip.
So what is your movie tip this week?
I tell you, movie tip, very, very good. This one's a documentary now, but it's still a film. They got a cinema release. It's still an hour and a half movie. And I thought it was very good, actually. It's an HBO film documentary. It's by Alex Winter, the guy who played... It's either Bill or Ted he played in, like, Excellent Adventures or, you know, Bogus Journey, you know, the Bill and Ted things. And it's called Showbiz Kids. And it looks at young people who came through the industry. And it's really interesting.
Is it?
Yeah, like Rachel Woods, who's now in Westworld, and a whole range of different people. The guy, Henry, and I can't remember his surname, who played Elliot in E.T. And they're very negative experiences, really, just growing up with a very adult pressure of being a kid star. And how their parents dealt with it as well. Either, you know, spending all the money or being too frugal with the money. It's either one way or the other with the parents. They either just spend it all, there's nothing left, or they think, God, we've got to be really careful with the money, get as much as possible. And then, you know,
and were the parents in the industry. Were the parents sort of guilty of pushing them into it?
Always. Seems to be the way. I'd say 90% of it was parents. It was just so bizarre how all the parents followed the same stereotypical role whereby they had failed in the industry themselves and they had artistic dreams. I would say it was 90%. Or it was a case of someone at school had noticed their acting abilities as a child and then pushed them in to the industry. And then the parents saw it as an opportunity but also found it too overwhelming, because they're in no way connected to the creative industry. So there never seems to be that balance. It either seems to be way, way too alien to the parents, or the parents were way, way too hungry. It was really interesting. And also, alongside seeing people who are well-known actors now and talking about their experiences as a child actor, you also see young kid actors in LA today going for auditions and their parents... And they like...
How'd you get hold of this?
It's on Showbiz... It's called Showbiz Kids, and it's called Documania.
Where'd you find
website.
It? Oh, Documania, okay.
Documania, but it's on the HBO website and stuff like that as well, but that'd be a place to watch it.
Oh.
And you see like these... Because what happens is, once every year, everyone flies to LA for pilot auditioning month. And they all, bizarrely, all these parents and their kids stay in the same apartment in LA. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because of costs or whatever, but that seems to be where the community flocks to. And they've come from different parts of the world, you know, America primarily and the world. So from Georgia, you know, Pennsylvania, all that, and just got this dream of turning their kid into a Disney brat.
Right. So where our middle boy, we're taking up for auditions for the new Osmonds musical.
Really?
Yeah.
Osmonds musical? What Osmond? What Osmond? And when you say Osmond, what's that?
Pardon?
Completely lost.
Yeah, the Osmonds.
And they were like, who were the Osmonds again? Just to make it completely clear for me, I've got.
Well, they're a band. They were brothers, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Yeah. Absolutely. And he's going to be in the musical.
Well, we're taking him up for. We've just started taking him up for auditions. Yeah.
God, blimey, that is exciting.
No, not really. I just wanted to make.
Heck. There's me just saying the death march of my childhood. It shows what a yes man I am. Oh, wonderful.
Osmond? What? Osmond? 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 What? Osmond? I'm going to have to clip that and just put it on a loop at the end of the episode.
What a nightmare. All I could think of was the Osbournes with like Ozzy Osbourne. I was like, how are they going to audition for that? I knew, oh God, what a nightmare.
Fucking hell.
I couldn't quite, if you're driving 70 miles an hour and you've suddenly got to do a left turn, it was just like, I didn't know where to take that conversation. It was just like, well, I basically said that, you know,
you're
child abuse for kids.
Off.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going. Like, oh, lovely. Absolutely. Well, you never know, there's that 1% who do well, who enjoy the experience. I'm sure your child will be that, you know, be part of the 1% camp.
Okay. So the movie tip this week is Showbiz Kids.
Yeah, definitely worth watching.
And where can you find that again?
Documania is one website that has uploaded it, but there'll be other places to find it, definitely.
Okay.
And definitely on like Amazon, you know, when you can, to rent it, because it's a film. Alex Winter directed it. He was also a kid actor before, going on to be an adult actor in things like Bill and Ted.
Oh. Well, thank you, David.
Not a problem.
David Edwards, man of film generator.
Right, now we've come to the film, the random film generator. And this is where we pick three films randomly, and then you have to pick one of them.
Perfect.
To review next week. So
yeah, let's
we have
go
the
for
genre
it.
Here.
Yeah.
So if you tell me when to stop the cursor on the cursor? Yeah, on the genre of the first film.
Stop now?
Drama.
Perfect. I think drama's always a good one.
Year?
Stop.
The 1950s.
Blimey. God, that shows I'm not a cineast. As soon as it leaves the 80s, I'm lost.
Okay, now tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Streetcar Named Desire.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, I've never seen that one. Marlon Brando. That would be interesting.
There you go. Streetcar Named Desire is the first of the three films. And that's... I fucking love this part of this podcast. Right, now pick another genre.
Stop.
Animation.
Okay.
And pick a decade. 1970s.
God, what would be out in the 70s? I guess it'd be Disney, wouldn't it? It'd be something Disney-based. Pixar didn't exist then. That'd be a no man's land
we
for me, wouldn't
stop.
It? Stop.
Aristocats.
God, never. It's always referenced in retro 70s films, Aristocats, isn't it? You always see them like...
This is fantastic.
At the front of cinemas.
I want to do this podcast every day. Right.
These are unknown territory for me, both those films.
The final movie, tell me when to stop on the genre.
Stop.
Action.
Very nice. Feeling comfortable now.
And tell me
men fighting men.
Tell me to stop. 1950s.
Well, that'd be a cowboy film, wouldn't it, or something?
Okay.
Stop.
And, oh, well, hang on. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
War of the Worlds.
Oh, wow, the 1950s War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
God, that'd be interesting.
Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
War of the Worlds.
What, 1950s War of the Worlds? That would be very interesting.
1950s War of the Worlds.
Is that definitely a film, or was that the Orson Welles, Welles radio drama? Or is that definitely a movie? Did they make a movie in the 50s?
Well, what, it says 1953, War of the Worlds. No, the War of the Worlds, 1953.
The radio show must have been the 30s then.
Directed by Byron Haskin.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, that's good, actually.
No, I definitely look forward to checking that out, the original 50s one. So, because it's all based...
It won an Oscar.
Did it really? Okay. Yeah.
It won an Oscar for Best Effects, Special Effects. Oscar nominee for Best Sound Film Editing.
1953, gosh. It's in colour, isn't it? I do remember it being in colour.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I look forward to that, definitely. And it's set in the Victorian period.
Absolutely looking forward to that.
Proper sort of 1950s... sort of summer blockbuster before those blockbusters were around kind of experience.
I get the feeling you've got a slight dread in your stomach.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's not, I'm thinking about it now. I'm thinking, can I go with this? I'm trying to think about the poster. I am trying to visualise. I'm thinking, I'm definitely pushing myself along.
I think you're going to love it.
I think I will do as well.
I think you'll go in going, oh, and then you'll be in.
Quite pleasantly interested. I'll be thinking, well, it's probably where things like Independence Day came from. I'll probably see like narrative frameworks in there. I think, oh, okay, that's where that came from. That was the influence. It's definitely something I would not have independently on my own gone out to search and watch.
Yeah.
It sounds like the sort of thing you'd watch on a Sunday afternoon on BBC Two on a lazy Sunday after your roast dinner. There ain't anything wrong with that. There you go again. Eight. There ain't anything wrong with that. I don't know where that's come from.
It's
just been introduced to my vocabulary.
Got good reviews.
Oh, has it? What's it getting? What's it, Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes. 89%.
Oh, there you go. I'm in. 89%. Once you're in the 80s, you're home.
There you go.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. It's got really good reviews.
I'll definitely check that out. It's an H.G. Wells novel, wasn't it? And then Orson Welles turned into a radio drama. And then it's this film here.
And then you had David Essex.
Oh, yes, doing like a musical version.
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got the Tom Cruise one, which I really thought was good with Spielberg.
Yeah. Well, you ain't watching that.
Absolutely, no. You've had your Spielberg fun, Edwards. It's time to, start looking for other cinema food to cleanse your palate with.
So when you think about War of the Worlds 1953 and watching it, what day are you going to watch it? When do you go, okay, I'll watch that then? What day?
I'm thinking maybe this afternoon. I'm already thinking in my head, I'm going to settle down, a big mug of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I've had one too many rice cakes yesterday when I watched Elvis. You know, I've OD'd on them.
Yeah.
So a nice mug of coffee, get it up on the old laptop.
Yeah.
And also you can go into a YouTube rabbit hole with these things as well. It's like, okay, you know. What were other reviewers thinking? Is there an interview with the director even back in the 50s? You know, there can be some old 16mm interviews with them on Kodak and stuff.
Yeah.
So you definitely go down rabbit holes with it. Do you know what I mean? I'll stop. See, that's the internet laptop experience. I'll stop watching it at some point, do some YouTube research, and then go back and watch it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's not very good.
No, that's not good, actually. Maybe I should slap myself on the wrist for that. Not purist.
Focus for an hour and a half.
Absolutely. If you can not be distracted.
You definitely did that with the Home documentary.
Oh, Home, I had to break that into chunks. I had to think, right, okay, it's an hour and whatever minutes, and I had to sort of just think, right, okay, just bite sizes.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Well, this is 2 hours, 51 minutes.
2 hours, 51 minutes, really?
No, mate.
I am up for a bit of sort of like... Alien invasion fun, but 2 hours and 50 minutes. That Elvis film I saw last night, that was 2 hours and 40 minutes. Way too long.
Was it? It hasn't done that well. When we were out in Munich, I don't think it done that well, she said.
It's not great. It's like a 2 hour and 40 minute flashily edited movie trailer. Do you know what I mean? There's no real... Every now and then it takes a breath where you have like a normal dialogue sequence, you know, shot, reverse shot, two people interacting. And, you know, it's good doing that, but there's not much time for character development. And Tom Hanks doesn't feel like a real person. He's in a fat suit with a strange European accent. You can't quite get over that. Oh, yes, right. It's
and
it's
who's
very
the guy
odd.
That's playing Elvis?
Yeah, it's Butler is his surname. And
is he an unknown?
He is pretty much an unknown. He was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was one of the cult members at the end that Brad Pitt fights off.
Right.
But his surname's Butler. It's very annoying. I can't remember his first name. He's in Dune 2 as well. He's going to play one of the villains in Dune 2, so he's very much up and coming. He is good. I don't really think he's given enough space to really shine. And you rarely see Elvis as a normal, relatable figure. He's very much, I wouldn't go as far as saying two-dimensional, but you're seeing very much a mythologized version of Elvis. There are moments where you feel a bit more of an emotional connection, and I think it's because he is a good performer, but so much of it is like fast-cut MTV music video movie trailer editing.
Yeah.
And the plot's very weak. But it's very hard to construct a plot of Elvis because we all know the story, don't we?
Yeah. Well, they managed it with Titanic.
Well, I was literally about to say that. Hey. I guess with Titanic, you've got the element of you know the ship's going to sink.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen to Jack and Rose, do you?
No.
So it's like, yeah, you know what's going to happen to that boat at any point, which creates the anticipation.
Yeah.
But you don't know what... You know.
Is there a boat in Elvis that sinks?
No, and that's the problem, I think.
Right. Okay. All right.
That is the issue. That was the missing component, I think, you know, because, you know, watching him sink and sing would be perfect.
Yeah. What would he sing as he sunk?
I'm trying. I'm stuck in a trap. Something
that's
like that,
nice.
You know.
That's
it's a watery trap.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Can you do an Elvis impression?
Uh-huh. You're taking all my money, Carl. I want it back.
Wow.
And Hanks has got like a bizarre kind of like Elvis. Yeah, I'm stuck in a trap. I think he actually says that at one point. He actually quotes a lot of his lyrics, which is something you do in reality.
No, well,
put me in a trap, Colonel. It's sort of like, yeah, well, you signed the contract, Elvis. You knew what you were signing. I didn't know what I was signing, nothing.
Who's,
I'm sat there eating
what?
Rice cakes.
Who's that?
That was the last bit. You don't know what I didn't know what I was, I didn't know what I was signing my life away.
Right, yeah. Right.
Sorry. That's why I'm not in Hollywood in pitch meetings.
You got a suspicious mind, Colonel.
Oh yes, it's stuff like that. That'd be they would grab Baz Luhrmann would grab that in a second. You can stay, grab a water bottle.
We could end with loads of
a trap. Yeah. And there's like things like the plot not twists, but the kind of like hanging question marks of will this happen? Would be things like Elvis is doing a live TV show. He doesn't want to sing a Christmas song at the end,
right.
But Hank does. Hank does want him to.
Elvis, sorry, go on.
And you go for it. And it's like, is he going to sing the Christmas song or not? It's just like it doesn't really matter. You know, I don't feel emotionally involved. So are we going to say Elvis?
Elvis, we're in this prison. And it looks like there's a pebble on the ground.
That's not a pebble, it's a Jill Hill's rock.
Oh my lord. Is that how the music video starts? Because it was the first music video he does interact with someone.
No, I'm just...
Oh, you're just going with it? I thought that was an actual quote from the film. That was well written. I was like, oh, right, okay, that's a well-known line.
Come on, think of other ones.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. What else is there?
It's the same song.
Oh, is it? Oh, God, I know the one song, clearly. What else is there? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock.
Yeah, is that him?
I think it would be something like that. It'd be,
Shall we end
what time should we meet for dinner, Elvis?
Shall we
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock. I'll make your mind up, Elvis. We're going to rock around the clock. Yeah. Something like that, I think. I'm only improvising now. I'm doing what they say in America. I'm just chewing the fat.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think of other ones.
He talks a lot about being stuck in a trap. He redoes that one all the time. Yeah.
Anyway, let's
get Elvis songs up. I'm trying to think. Let's
call it a day.
Let's call it a day, definitely.
Call it a day.
He gets hooked on drugs as well, which is quite depressing at the end.
Okay.
And
I've got to see the Taxi Man.
Oh, absolutely. God, yeah, you've got a life to live.
Right. Cheers, David.
Yeah, lovely to see you, absolutely. And good. Yeah. Well done with getting the film into the film festival, Munich Film Festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But thank you for doing the reviews. And
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, and I'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Take care, friend. And, yeah, wonderful stuff.
Cheers, David.
Look after yourself. Take care. Osman's musical. What Osman's musical?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.